We have been talking about confessions. So if you would, you can open up to Isaiah chapter 40. We have been talking about the confessions and how our confessions should line up with the Word of God. In fact, they should be God's Word. Now if you're there in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Now this is this is the Amplified Classic Edition, okay? Now, it reads, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever." And the Amplified Classic Edition, the only word that it added was the word will. It will stand forever. His Word will stand forever because it is living and it is powerful. When we speak it, believing it in our hearts, making it our confession, things will change. His Word creates and changes. Hebrews 11, 3. We don't want to go to 13 yet. Okay. Hebrews 11. Verse 3, and Jack, this is the Authorized King James Version, because I searched the internet and I could not find the New King James Classic Edition. Sorry, brother, I couldn't find it. You know, a lot of you are going, huh? If you were here on Tuesday, you would understand the joke. Thank you, Jack. So the Authorized King James Version reads, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds," that's the universe, "were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which appear." The worlds were framed by the Word of God. His Word has creative power. His Word created that which was not to that which is, so that it could be seen with the natural eye. And the Word tells us that God calls those things that be not as though they were, or those things which do not exist as they do exist. And we are to do the same. We are God's children. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're His kids. So it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." Literally, this is telling us to be imitators of God as children imitate their parents. Now, when I was growing up, I wanted to be just like my dad. I wanted to imitate him. I wanted to talk like him. I wanted to be like my dad. My dad was rough and tough. He was rough and tough on me. You know what? I loved him. I loved him for it because he helped make me the man that I am. And he, one of the things that he taught me that I always wanted to imitate, and I imparted that to my girls. He said, "Son, whatever you do, don't ever lie to me. Always tell the truth." He says, "No matter who you're dealing with, never lie, because it will find you out." And I have stood on that, and I've told my kids the same thing. Don't ever lie. A quick little story. I was in my last year of high school. When I decided that me and my friend were not going to go to school. We would hitchhike, that was back in the day when you could do such thing, and go to Pittsburgh. We'd go to Pittsburgh, spend the whole day, go to National Record Mart, come home in another couple of 45s, you know, that was the thing. You know, we weren't into this high-tech stuff now. You know, you don't have to leave your house to get it. So we would go up there and hang out in Pittsburgh. We did this for a whole week. And second week came, hey, this is working pretty good. Monday, hey, we went to Pittsburgh. Come home that night, and we went down to my buddy's house. His parents were there, and his dad said, you need to go home. And I looked, I said, oh, you could see the look in his eyes. And he said to his, my buddy, his name was Ace, but he says, called him back, he says, Robert, you and I need to have a discussion why you haven't been in school. And I heard that, I was going out the door, and I went, oh. I walked in the house. And when I walked in the house, my dad's sitting there in his chair. In the chair. Nobody sat in that chair but dad. And over here on the other chair that was in the living room sat Unc. That was my grandmother's brother who raised my dad. A big old cigar. And he's looking at me sitting there. And my dad says, got a question for you. He says, yeah. He says, don't lie. He says, you've been in school. I said, no, sir. He says, you will be there tomorrow, and you will be on time, and you will be early. Right? I said, yes, sir. Now, my dad was one who was not afraid to take the belt. But he did not. And I take that because I didn't lie. I was truthful. And when he found it out, and I repented, he said I would do what he told me to do. He let me off the hook. But like I say, I wanted to be just like my dad. I wanted to imitate him. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to talk like him. Well, the scripture here, it says that we are supposed to be imitators of God. And that means to imitate God, we must talk like him, and we must act like him. You know, he would not ask us to do something that we are not capable of doing. Jesus, his son, operated in the faith principles of Mark 11:23 and Matthew 17:20. Turn to Mark 11:23. And Jesus speaking, he says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Two things here. No doubting, only believing. That those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus again says, for surely I say to you, if you have faith, said, if you have faith, then he goes on to say, as a mustard seed. That's just a, you think how small that is? You have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move. And it will move. If you only believe. And then what goes on to say, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will. Jesus spoke to the wind and to the sea. He spoke to the demons. He spoke to the fig tree. He even spoke to dead men. The wind, the sea, the demons, even the dead men, they all obeyed what he said. He operated in the God kind of faith. God is a faith God, and God releases his faith in words. Jesus was imitating his Father and getting the same results as the Father. And we are too also. Turn to John. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to look to verse 12, because this is why I say that. Jesus says, now, not just for assuredly, he says, most assuredly. Puts a little bit more emphasis on it. I say to you, he who believes in me, you believe in Jesus? Amen. Amen. The works that I do, he will do also. What Jesus did, you will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Greater works. You will do greater works. If you believe in him. Because he left. And he went to be with the Father in heaven. So Jesus did many awesome and amazing things. The principles of faith are based on spiritual laws. They work for whosoever will apply these laws. And you know how you set them in motion? With your mouth. With your mouth. You don't have to have a tool bag or a tool pouch. I'm Bob. Bob, when I see, you see him go, he still puts that in that big tool pouch. He's supposed to be the man, the boss. He's the owner, but he still puts on a tool pouch. Because you got to be equipped. And our equipment to dealing with what we need is the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. Because the Word, what, Nick? Works. Let me ask you something. Do you really want all those negative things that you have been confessing to come to pass? No. Are you believing for those things? If Jesus stood at this pulpit and he said, from this day forward, it will come to pass that everything that you say will happen exactly as you say it, would you change your vocabulary? Yeah, I think you would. In fact, I know you would. Because Bob, we were talking the other day, he says, you know, can you imagine if people recorded what they said all day long and then played it back in the evening? I think our eyes would all be opened up to seeing how much fear, doubt, and unbelief we speak during the day instead of faith, trust, and reliance and leaning upon him with all your heart. Our Bible, all 66 books, they contain his word, his living and powerful word. It is as powerful today as it was when he spoke it. And when we speak it in faith, believing in our hearts, it can change the unseen to the seen. In Romans 10:9, it says that our salvation came by confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart. I'm going to scan and I look and I say, yeah, everybody in here I know is a born-again believer. And that's what it took. You're secure with that, right? You're sure you're saved. No doubt. Okay. I want to make sure we establish that, because if not, we'll take care of it right now. And when it comes to our healing, though, it's the same way. It's our confession and believing of the Word. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The destructions here we're talking about is the grave. We're talking about death. We're talking about the pit of hell. That's what we're talking about there. But the beginning, the first part of that, I want you to fill in the blanks there for me. He sent his and he sent his word and healed. Now keep that in mind and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We are going to read verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, that's a person, he was in the beginning with God. Who was? The Word. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Now look down to verse 14 there. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. The Word came to this earth, took on a physical body, and was given a name above all names, the name of Jesus. Jesus. So he was originally called the Word. But for us, here, we call him Jesus. But he's one and the same. And the Word was God. Now turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Look to verse 5. But he, the Word, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The Word, Jesus, brought healing through his broken body. First Corinthians chapter 11. It'd be good if I get the right Corinthians there. Now, verses 23 and 24, we're going to read this morning, but right now I want to read, it says, the Lord Jesus, in verse 23, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. It is a reminder that by his stripes we are healed. Every time when you take communion and you think of that bread, you can say, by his stripes I am healed. He wants you to remember that. And so if you take communion every day, there's nothing wrong with that. You're only honoring the Lord when you do that. And there's a lot of people that I know, they get up and that's how they pray, and they start their day and they take communion. Because of the importance behind it. So our confession should be, by his stripes, I am healed. Now some of you I know here this morning have got a bad report from the doctors. Well, I'm telling you, do not fear. No. Don't let fear come in and get you off of your confession. And if you're going through treatment for something, go through it in the name of Jesus, believing it will do exactly what it is supposed to do and without any side effects. Somebody says, can I do that? Yeah! Yeah, you can in Jesus' name. Only believe. Make your confession in line with God's word. Remember, confessing is witnessing for a truth that we have embraced, testifying of something we know. We know the word to be true, and affirming something that we believe. That is confession. So whose report you're going to believe? The report of the Lord says that you shall live and not die. He sent His word and healed you. And by His stripes, we are healed. He is Jehovah Rapha. And He said, I am the God that heals you. He said that. He said that to each and every one of us. Well, this is what the doctor said. Okay, that's what the doctor said. But the word supersedes that if you'll let it. And what it says is you were healed. You were healed. If you have to go through a surgery, if you have to have a hip replaced, you go in believing that it's going to be done with no problems, there are going to be no side effects, everything's going to work out great, and you will have two new hips that you have no problem with because there's no infections. Pam, how's them knees? Huh? Everybody looks at me. You had two hip replacements. Yeah. Does that mean I don't have any faith? I had faith because I'm standing here with the successful surgeries in both of them. Amen. Bonnie, she's moving right along. It's all in what you put your belief in. I could believe for that. So I had pastor agree with me in prayer. That was it. And believe me, I love that Nikki says, I'll come over and I'll pray with you morning. I said, you don't have to, Nick. Just agree at home. Pastor already prayed. I don't need anything else. I already agree with it. We know. Just agree with what he prayed. Nick said, that's it. I said, that's it, brother. Not that I don't want you there, but I don't need anything else. I knew my prayer was answered the day my pastor prayed for me right there. And I went in for that surgery confidently. And like I say, here I stand. So don't let fear or doubt into your house. When it comes knocking, don't answer the door. When we were saved, we confess the Lordship of Jesus. That if it says that if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Okay? So we confess Jesus as Lord when we said the prayer. That means He is our Lord. When we confess His Lordship over us, He begins to have dominion, authority over us, and rule in our lives. But if we confess Satan's ability to hinder and keep us from success, then even though we may be a good, outstanding Christian, we are giving Satan dominion over us. See, he's the God of this world. And he will move right in because we permit him to do so. Even though we may do it by giving him an unconscious consent. Nevertheless, we are giving consent to it. And when Satan has dominion, we are filled with fear and doubt, which will leave us weak. We will be in a weakened state. and he'll run all over us. So we are not to be overcome by fear and doubts. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear will make you afraid. But we are not to be afraid. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Here's what the Lord says. Fear not. Please stop right there. Fear not. Fear not. For I am with you. I am with you, he says. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never let go of you. No. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a loving God who wants nothing but the best for his kids. Same as you and I do. We want the best for our kids. When they're sick, we want to do everything we can for them in the natural. When God looks down at us and we're sick, he has given us everything that we need to get well in his word. And he says, simply believe. Believe. Speak the word. And when you get into some of the circumstances we're at in health, speak the word only. Only speak the word. See, even though in the natural, many times we feel afraid, we should never confess fear. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I feel weak. But he said, I will strengthen you. Well, you don't understand what I'm dealing with. I will strengthen you. But this has been said, and this is happening in my life. I will strengthen you, he says. Yes, I will help you. He will help you. He's not going to do it for you. That means you have to do something. You have to put action behind your faith. He says, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear is not of God. And the scripture says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear isn't something that is coming from the inside of you. No, it's something that's coming from the outside, trying to get a hold of you. See, it's the enemy. And we should not confess fear, but rather we should confess power, love, and a sound mind. The same thing holds true about doubt. Don't confess your doubts or your fears. See, this is, and it's not to say that we should not admit doubt and fear. If you have them, just don't say anything about them. Keep your mouth shut. Doubt is of the devil. See, we have no business talking about doubt, for it doesn't belong to us. Doubt is unbelief, and we are believers, not doubters. We believe the Word of God to be true, so we speak it in faith and make it our confession. I'm not trying to make this hard, because God told me, I'm making it simple, because I'm the vessel he's using, and I'm pretty simple. A lot of people think they are being honest when they confess that they are afraid or that they doubt. You may have been tempted to doubt and listen to the accuser. But you can put him on a run. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Submit to God. Humble yourself before Him. Put your total faith and confidence in Him. Give yourself totally to the Word. Now, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Who's to do the resisting? You, that's who. You. If you give yourself in faith to Him and get in that Word, His Word, you can resist the devil. Because when he sees that, you know what he's going to see? He's going to see Jesus, and he's going to say, ah, and he's going to be off running. Yeah. That's what he's going to see. It's not like the sons of Sceva when they looked at them other priests, right? Jesus we know, and Paul we know. You we don't know. But you know who you are in Christ, and you can resist the devil, and he will run from you screaming. But you got to know who you are in Christ. So don't confess doubt. Confess faith. Start talking what you are and who you are in Christ. You are a believer. You are a new creation. Go to Dean's favorite one. Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hey, Jack, Amplified Classic Edition. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. In parentheses, a new creature altogether. The old, previously moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Your spirit man is reborn. The old physical body, it's still the same. But it's your spirit. So we need to talk that. We need to believe that. And we need to be thinking that. Make your confession. I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. I am branding new. So you can say, I'm branding new. You're a new creation. Branding new. And if you're tempted to doubt that, and no one is above temptation, because Jesus was tempted. And how did he respond? With the Word, of course. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It is written. Jesus said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His Word is life-giving. His Word is life. It's life to us. Jesus used the Word. But that was Jesus. Yeah. You got Jesus in your heart this morning. And I know that because we've already settled that. Then He's abiding in you. He's dwelling in you. His home is in you. His Spirit is in you. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in you. The resurrection life Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Resurrection power. It's in you. Not that it's going to be there. It's already there. He's living, abiding in you. The greater one is in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You got that concept in your head? Resist the devil, and he's going to flee. Resist the devil, he's going to flee. Refuse, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, doubt and fear. And they will leave. They will leave. Take that stand. They will leave. But if you entertain them, they will come right and make themselves at home. And they're going to rob you of your peace of mind. They're going to rob you of your finances. They're going to rob you of your health. They're going to leave you defeated. So instead of confessing your doubts and fears, confess what God's Word says. And God says what? Do not be afraid. I am with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Therefore, you can say, I am not afraid. I am a child of God, and He is with me. He has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We are not doubters. We are believers. Many people think that God is responsible for everything that happens to them, when actually God is not responsible for these things. People also think that it is up to God to do something about their troubles. Actually, it's up to us individually to do something about our troubles. Why? Because after Christ's ascension, when He went up to be with the Father, the work that He did in carrying out the great plan of redemption, it was turned over to the church. We, the church, that's us. It was turned over to us. And now it's up to us to possess the land. The 12 spies sent to Canaan, they made a critical turning point in their lives by their confession. By their confessions. 10 of them said, "We can't do it." They believed they could not, therefore, they could not. And Israel accepted the majority report and subsequently wandered 40 years. A whole generation passed in the wilderness. But not Joshua and Caleb. They had a different report. They believed they could conquer Canaan. They said, "Let us go up at once." There's no hesitation there. Let's go up at once. Right now. Come on. Let's go. They were ready to go right then and possess the land. For we are well able to overcome it. That was their words. That's what they confessed. That statement fixed a critical point in their lives. They lived long enough to enter the land of Canaan. And at 85, Caleb said, "Hey, where's my parcel land over there?" And he went over and he took it and he made that his home. Yeah. Because of the confessions of his mouth and Joshua's. And Joshua was the next fill-in, the next leader after Moses. Moses took them as far as he could. But because of what Moses' mouth and what he did, he wasn't able to go in and enter in. Joshua was. Joshua took them to the next step. But just like Joshua and Caleb, we are well able to overcome and possess. Possess what? The promises. all the promises. For greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us. We need to stop talking the language of doubt and fear, and we need to start talking the language of faith. That's God's language. Don't need no Rosetta Stone to teach you that. Just open your Bible. Smith Wigglesworth, the only thing that he could read was the Bible. By standards, we would say he's illiterate. He was smarter than any of us. It wasn't a newspaper found in his house. Didn't read them. He read the Word. God is a faith God, and we are faith children. Okay? So we are children of a faith God. We are to live, to walk, and to speak faith. For we know that it is impossible to please Him without faith. Folks, words are containers. They carry faith or fear, and they will produce after their kind. Purpose to make your containers faith-filled containers. Remember, confession of fear gives fear dominion over you. Your fears become stronger, and you become more into the bondage of the enemy. But if you will boldly confess your Abba Father's care, confess His protection, confess His word, and declare what God says about you is true, confess that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, you will rise above the enemy's influence every time. When you confess your doubts and fears, your weaknesses and diseases, you are openly confessing the Word of God is not true and that God has failed to make it good. And we know God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And He watches over His Word to perform it. And when it comes to healing, His Word declares, by His stripes, you were healed. Thank you.